Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Now we're going to talk about a fascinating study. Public health officials are gearing up for the largest children's study ever undertaken in the United States, and they're planning on launching it in 2009. Researchers plan on tracking 100,000 children from the womb to when they're 21 years old. They hope 2 decades worth of hair and urine and other samples will help explain why childhood diseases are rising. Joining us now is Kate Murphy, a New York Times contributor who writes about the study in today's Science Time. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So give us the details of what the plan is.
Well, the plan is, as you said, to follow 100,000 children from before birth until they're age 21. And what they will do is, while they are in utero, they will take blood samples as well as blood samples from the mother. And then once they are born, they will be periodically tested, take hair samples, nail samples, blood, saliva, to track them and their health throughout their life. And the other thing that's quite interesting about it is not only will they be tracking their health, but they will be taking samples from their environment. They'll be looking for metals, things like phthalates, estrogen mimicking substances, bisphenol A, mercury, to see how these types of chemicals may be impacting a child's health as they grow.
One of the fascinating aspects of this is they're only tracking the child and the mother, right?
Exactly. The fathers will be encouraged to participate, but they won't be required. So the thinking there is that maybe the father won't be around, or also just because, as you said, this is the largest study. It's 100,000 children and their mothers, you know, to try and bring the father in too is going to be quite difficult. And I think they want to concentrate on just keeping the children and the mothers in the study, and that those are the primary data points. But that's really one of the concerns and a bit of the controversy is whether or not they'll be able to keep these 100,000 children and mothers engaged for 21 years. Because when you sign on for this, it's quite a commitment. And you may think it's a good idea, you know, when you're pregnant and think, oh, you know, this will follow my child's health. But, you know, when you get into it and it's a couple of years on and they're still asking for blood, and maybe your kid is a teenager and says, I don't want to do that. You just, you know, you wonder what the retention rate's going to be.
Yeah, clearly that would be an obstacle, particularly over such a long period of time. How did they recruit these families, and do they have, the scientists, do they have their 100,000?
Well, they haven't started yet. They've just been gearing up of how they're going to do this, and they'll start in January 2009, and they're starting actually in Queens, in New York, as well as in North Carolina, hog farming country, kind of opposite ends of the pole.
Well, hey, I have 4 kids. How much can I make in this deal?
Well, probably by the end of it, I mean, I think by the end of 4 years, they hope to get the 100,000. But it's going to be quite an undertaking. But the thing that's really quite interesting about it is the way they're doing the sampling. They're doing it in 105 counties across the United States, and they're actually going and knocking on doors. They're not just, you know, taking people who are coming into hospitals or into doctors' clinics, which is the way usually you take subjects for scientific studies.
And Kate, why did they choose to do it that way?
Because they want to get a representative sample, and you're not going to get that of just people that are coming into clinics. They're going out and, you know, like I said, you know, hog farming country, people who may not go to the hospital to have a baby. So they're really trying to get, you know, a real cross-section so it really looks like kids in America, not just people that are around research medical centers and would be coming into those clinics.
Speaking of research medical centers, who's involved and who had this idea to begin with?
Well, who's involved are really those major medical centers. Those are the ones that are going to be collecting the data, but they're going to have doctors and clinicians going out into the community and also into these, you know, more rural areas that they may not reach ordinarily. And then the inception, to answer your question about the inception, is this really started back during the Clinton administration. During that time, there were all these concerns about lead exposures and fetal alcohol syndrome, and also a surge in incidence of autism and asthma. And so they formed a presidential task force on environmental health to provide recommendations on how to control exposures. And once this group got together, they realized, you know what, we don't have enough data to provide any guidance. So that's when they started to think, well, I think we better do a really big study.
And certainly not enough data from hog farming areas in
North
Carolina.
No, yes. Not at all.
So you're talking about the Center for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, and other universities and institutions, and potentially a gold mine if all goes well. And they'll be reporting some of their findings as they go?
Absolutely. That's what's really interesting about it, and also how they talk about, because there's a lot of concern about how much this is going to cost. We're talking $3 billion with a B, billion dollars, by the time it's all said and done. And how they counter that, you know, how it's worth it and how it will pay for itself is, you know, as they go through, they'll be releasing information and hopefully give clinicians an idea of what the causes of some of these childhood disorders. For example, they've already started, they did what one of the researchers told me is a dress rehearsal for this larger study, starting with 1,500 children. And he said from that study that's been going on for this dress rehearsal, rather, that's been going on for about 6 years, that they've already found that organophosphates in pesticides are cause children to have to be born with small brains and thus have cognitive disorders later on in life.
Wow, Kate. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Kate Murphy is a contributor to the New York Times, and she's got a story today in the Science Times talking about what they're calling the National Children's Study.